As we always do on Your Calls Media Roundtable, we start off on a positive note. There's so much amazing reporting out there that doesn't always get the attention it deserves, so we like to highlight that reporting. And Joshua, why don't we start off with you? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
You know, I would like to praise all of Liz Sly's reporting in the Washington Post about the rise of ISIS and attempts to combat it. This week she did a couple of pieces about talks in Syria among Syria's fractured opposition groups. They're trying to forge a common front. She talks about what's driving those efforts and also the obstacles that remain to seeing a united opposition against the Assad regime.
And what strikes you about Liz Sly's report, considering these issues get a lot of attention? And also, how does she report on what explains the rise of ISIS?
You know, one of the most important things she wrote, I think, was a story. It was titled The Hidden Hand Behind ISIS. She wrote this some months back, and she noted that all of the senior leadership of the Islamic State are former Iraqi military officers, and it's not hard to draw a line between the decision to disband Iraq security services and basically make all of these well-trained military leaders unemployed, and their subsequent rise within ISIS. They brought to this group not only military experience, but also an expanded network of smuggling routes and knowledge of how to circumvent financial sanctions and stuff like that.
It sounds like the piece Christopher Reuter of Der Spiegel reported on this months ago, and we had him on about that. We try to bring some context to this because I think that history is really important. So kudos to Liz Sly with the Washington Post, and that is Joshua Holland. He's a contributor to The Nation. And what about you, Eli? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
Well, this is going to stand in stark contrast in terms of the gravitas of the coverage of ISIS that Joshua just described and my articles that interested me, which is that the ones that really caught my interest this week were the coverage done by both Gizmodo and Wired magazine, where both of them are sort of hot on the chasing one another, it seems like, in trying to come up with a positive identification of the creator of Bitcoin. I think it's been really interesting to watch. They both sort of honed in on this man, Craig Stephen Wright, in Australia. And the thing that is particularly fascinating is after Time Magazine's effort to identify the Bitcoin founder as Satoshi Nakamoto, which was quite a while ago now, fell flat and was actually quite an embarrassing journalistic misstep. Now we're seeing two organizations that are not known necessarily for doing strong investigative work really trying to do it right this time around and present a compelling dossier on this individual.
And Eli, for those who aren't familiar with Bitcoin, can you just give us a quick synopsis and why do you think people should care about this issue?
Well, it's essentially a cryptocurrency, which is it exists completely independent of any government or any central fund backing it. And people can exchange it directly between individuals by email or even by writing down one Bitcoin hash, as it's known. I would say it wouldn't have significance except for the fact that the growth of the Bitcoin market, which is now worth many billions of dollars, does seem to suggest that people are placing an increasing weight on this currency and trust and faith in it, which is a strong separation from the traditional things that we've associated as currency, which are either precious metals or fiat currencies, in theory backed by governments. And this is something new, and it's enabled things like Silk Road, which are not been such a positive thing, which famously also resulted in some good investigative journalism and a federal case against the man who was running it. But in other cases, it's allowed, you know, anonymous donations to occur. I see it used increasingly by nonprofits taking it as a form of payment. And it seems like it's something that's going to be around much longer and in much greater value than many of us would have predicted several years ago.
All right. So kudos to Gizmodo and Wired for its reporting on Bitcoin. And that is Eli Clifton. He is a fellow at the Nation Institute. And what about you, Kia? What did you see this week that you thought was done well?
I think it was actually published late last week, but Aisha Siddiqui, who I'm happy to have as a friend, she's the editor-in-chief of the New Inquiry. She published a piece in Vice, called Does America Deserve Malala, about Malala Yousafzai. And I think that it was just a very rich sort of dive through the history of Pakistan and how it relates to Malala's story and how it relates to Western involvement in the region. And it sort of gets at that feeling about, if you've ever felt uncomfortable by some of the adulation heaped on Malala, which of course she deserves, but by leaders of countries or by companies that have in some way or other arguably contributed to the dire circumstances of her life story. I think Aisha's piece is a really important look at that history.
Well, I recently saw the documentary about her, so it sounds like this piece would be a good follow-up.
Yeah, and she actually interviewed the director as well, and I think she was more than, or she was very fair to his perspective. She didn't agree with it, but it was about that as well.
All right, so Aisha Sidzuki, is that right?
I'm sorry?
Is that her name, Aisha Sidzuki?
Oh, Aisha Siddiqui, yes.
Siddiqui, okay.
Yeah.
She writes for Vice. Thank you for that one. That sounds good. And that is Kia Makareshi. He is VanityFair.com story editor. And we will put links to all of these stories at yourcallradio.org.